follow us on Twitter. It's a free and easy way to keep up with the latest news on the show. Just go to www.twitter.com and type Market Wrap with no space into the search box. Make Market Wrap part of your social network and never miss a thing.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over two decades now. And as always, wherever you are, from Miami to Seattle, from California to Rhode Island, and even in Honolulu, you can always pick up the phone, give me a call, and I will be more than happy to share with you my 34 years, or nearly 35 years of trading experience. Dow up nearly 1%, S&P up 0.86%, NASDAQ slightly higher, and the NDX, the large cap technology, was down 0.09%. The Russell small cap index was up 0.9%. Now let's go to our guest line, and it's always a pleasure to have Dr. John Taylor on the broadcast with us. He is a Marion Robert Raymond Professor of Economics at Stanford University. As you know, Dr. Taylor is also a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He is one of the most influential economists in the world, particularly in the field of monetary policy. In 1993, he wrote a paper where he proposed the Taylor Rule, which provides a guide to just about all central banks on how to determine interest rates. Dr. Taylor is also the former Undersecretary of Treasury for International Affairs and a former member of the President's Council of Economic Advisors. Dr. Taylor, welcome back to Market Wrap.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
Dr. Taylor, let's start with Europe and see what is going on there. We've got a huge issue where the rates are spiking in Italy. Greece is just about defaulting. Do you think the euro is going to survive?
I think it is. It's undergoing an enormous set of pressures from different dimensions. One of the reasons I think it'll survive is it isn't going to solve anything for it to break apart. And so I think that the Europeans realize that, and they're doing all they can. Now, the uncertainty, of course, is really the kind of the populist concerns. People are out there saying we shouldn't have to pay back all creditors by this amount. And I actually think that democratic impulse is good, but ultimately I think it will hold the place together.
So they will hold it together and things there. Do you think the ECB is going to play a big role in this, and they are going to start, as they have been buying a lot of the Italian bonds, come out and basically say we are going to monetize and buy all of the debt that's out there or whatever is needed to do, and we are going to open the ECB to buying as many bonds as we need to stabilize rates?
Well, I think that's not the way to proceed. I think they, as I might step back a minute, the way the Europeans have handled this from the beginning is not exemplary. Right away, when things began to flare up in Greece, I think the recognition should be that they're not going to be able to pay their debt, to restructure it, work it out with their creditors. And so many times in the past, usually with emerging market countries like, you know, Brazil or even Russia, there were efforts to work this out and not to cause this postponing, kicking the can down the road. So I believe Europe has kicked the can down the road already too much, and that has led to even more interventions. And it's really a shame that the European Central Bank, which its main job was to prevent inflation, to keep the euro stable, has had to get in and actually support the profligate spending and debt increases in these countries.
Aren't we doing the same thing here, Dr. Taylor, with the Fed saying they're buying bonds, that they've done QE1, QE2, they've done the twist. Now everybody's saying that we are going to get QE3 if the economy does not really pick up by the beginning of next year. Aren't we doing the same thing where we are monetizing debt?
We are. In fact, you could say we started it. We got involved with bailouts of our financial firms, and that was supported by the Federal Reserve, really financed by the Federal Reserve early on with Bear Stearns and AIG. And so I would say the kind of bailout mentality began back then. And once it gets started, it's hard to stop. You get used to it. People get used to it. They begin to count on it. It was a problem that existed in the 90s in emerging market countries, but they basically grew out of it and don't depend on those bailouts like they used to. And so they're doing better, ironically. Brazil doing better. Turkey's doing better. Many emerging markets because they got off of that. But in the meantime, Europe is onto it, and you see the damage that's caused by that.
We are talking to Dr. John Taylor. Dr. Taylor is a senior fellow at the Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Dr. Taylor, in your paper titled Legislating a Rule for Monetary Policy, you ask the question, why legislate a policy rule now? Can you answer that question? Tell us why it is so significant.
Yes, it's quite significant. In much of the 80s and 90s, until relatively recently, the Federal Reserve followed a policy which was more rule-like. It tried to focus on keeping inflation down, focus on price stability, and it got rid of that terrible inflation we had in the 70s, which is so damaging. Mm-hmm. And so they behaved in a way which was very sensible. And we've observed that in other central banks. When they do predictable, rule-like, systematic things and don't have enormous amount of surprises and discretion, things work well. But recently, and I mentioned some examples during the crisis, but it goes before the crisis, the Federal Reserve began to deviate from this kind of rule-like, predictable policy, and that's caused a lot of damage. And so I think experience shows that they should go back to that kind of policy, and one way to do that would be to legislate it, and that was my proposal.
Professor, if we get legislation involved, then we get Congress involved, and we get Congress starting to make monetary policy decisions. Do you think Congress, which has been, I think, one of the biggest problems, that they continue to spend and spend and spend, if we also hand over monetary policy to Congress, wouldn't that be creating and making a bigger problem? It's like the wolf guarding the hen house.
If they were going to take decisions day to day or month to month into their own hands, it would certainly be damaging. And you're exactly right, I think, to raise that question. But the issue is there a way that the Congress can insist on accountability and reporting requirements that describe the Federal Reserve strategy mm-hmm. in a way that monitors what they do? You want to basically exercise the degree of political control that's appropriate in a democracy. The authorization of monetary policy comes from our Constitution, and my idea is that you legislate some reporting requirements and accountability requirements on the Federal Reserve mm-hmm. that helps them stay on a more rule-like, predictable path, but don't micromanage, and that's what my proposal is.
So you would say that we do need to have some more transparency, some more accountability, sort of an audit of the Fed, and just not that right now they're saying, oh, we are totally independent, don't talk to us, we can do whatever we want to. Basically, that's the policy, or that's been the norm. But you're saying that we should have much more accountability and have the Fed, you know, have some audits and show what they hold and what the liabilities are and things like that. And that, I think more transparency would definitely be helpful. And that, I think, would make them sort of more accountable. They have to really be careful of what they do and how they do it. Dr. Taylor, what is your outlook for unemployment, short and long term? Do you think we are going to, the Fed is saying 8% by the end of next year. Do you think we are getting there? Or do you think we are going to sort of muddle along, as I call it, the Japanification of this country, where we are just struggling and, you know, -1% to +1% GDP in that range sort of going along? What do you think?
I think we're in the muddling stage right now, and if they're correct and unemployment comes down to 8%, that's progress, but it's still very dismal given our history and given what has happened in recoveries in the past. So I would consider that a disappointment, and I hope we do better than that. But the problem is we need to change policy in order for that to happen. We've been doing these, I would call these interventions, these temporary things, try to give the economy a little boost in the short term, but they go away. We haven't done any of the long-term reforms, tax reform, regulatory reform, that I think is so important for growth. We could be doing much better than those numbers you just mentioned, 1%, 2%. We should be growing over 4%, 5% in order to get unemployment down.
So how do we do that? Do you think tax reform is the first thing that we have to do, the biggest thing?
I think that's a big part of it. Right now, people are afraid taxes are going to increase. Mm-hmm. They see this incredible complexity. They also worry about the growing debt and what the implications of that are. They see the increased regulation. So I think you've got to have a strategy. It's the kind of things that we've seen work in the past in the United States. I think the 80s and 90s were were much better than what we have now. Obviously, the 70s were worse because we did these inappropriate things, and we got to get off of that. So I'd say, number one, tax reform, bringing the tax rates down in a way that doesn't increase taxes at all. And then you have the budget deficit reduction, gradual, credible, and that reduces this debt explosion. Then you have the regulatory reform, which is so essential. And I think we have to fix our entitlement programs to make them work better for people without spending so much money.
We're talking to Dr. John Taylor. He is one of the most influential economists in the world, particularly in the field of monetary policy. In 1993, he proposed the Taylor Rule, which provides a guide to central banks and how to set interest rates. Dr. Taylor, during a speech today to the troops in Dallas, Fed Chairman Bernanke said he doesn't think we'll be able to escape the consequences of a blow-up in Europe. Now, that is concerning because if we do, we are seeing the problems there in Europe that continue, and he says they are going to affect us here. Do you think they will affect us, and to what degree?
Well, I think they will affect us. We have exports that go to Europe, and if they suddenly stop purchasing our exports, that will have a negative effect on our economy. We also have banks that are holding some of the debt that's questionable in Europe. So there is definitely a channel. This is a global economy now. We saw that in the financial crisis. Things travel around the world. But what I think is most important, and I just hope and assume that Chairman Bernanke is on top of this, we have to really make sure that our own banks, he knows what's happening in our own banks, and so that they remain safe and sound, and so we don't have a ripple effect into the financial system. I don't think we need to have that ripple effect, but of course it requires good policy to make sure that doesn't happen.
What does the Fed have left in its arsenal to assist the U.S. economy if things do turn down in the near future besides doing QE3?
Well, I think there's a mistaken view that the Fed has run out of ammunition. I don't think of it that way. I think they have plenty of things they've been doing, in fact, too many. Mm-hmm. The quantitative easings, the Operation Twist, the purchases of mortgage-backed securities early on, the intervention into particular financial institutions. So they've got plenty of ammunition, if you want to put it that way. The problem is they've been shooting it, sort of like scattering it all over the place, and it's not been helpful. So I think the most constructive thing for them to do would be to get back to a kind of monetary policy that did work well in the 80s and 90s and has worked well in other countries when it's followed. That's more predictable, a strategy for reducing the very much bloated balance sheet, adding some predictability so people aren't always speculating what are they going to do next. So that's what I would suggest for the Federal Reserve.
Dr. Taylor, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and being with us today on Market Wrap and sharing your thoughts again with us and just giving us a view of what you think, where we are, and where we're headed as far as the economy is concerned. Thank you again for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Dr. John Taylor. He is the Mary and Robert Raymond Professor of Economics at Stanford University, one of the foremost economists in the world. Dr. Taylor has been kind enough to provide us the paper that he just wrote, Legislating a Rule for Monetary Policy. Remember, he is the one who came up with the monetary policy. He is the one who came up with the guideline of what is called the Taylor Rule, and that is what most Federal Reserves, the ECB, the Federal Reserve in this country, and most banks, central banks in the country use to set interest rates. Can you imagine the impact on his rule has on your life? Every single day, what you do is affected by what Dr. Taylor has devised and come up. And I would not be surprised that one day if he's awarded the Nobel Prize for economics. But always a pleasure to have him on the broadcast. And I think this more accountability. Ron Paul was talking about this yesterday on the debate that we should have the Fed be more accountable. I think that's a good idea that we get more accountability from the Fed, and the Fed comes out and tells us why they're putting money into the banks, why they're giving this money, or why they're doing this, what their balance looks like, because eventually that is our money. That's the taxpayer money, so we have to watch this and see. We have given them immense power. I think we need more accountability. So if you want this paper, Legislating a Rule for Monetary Policy, give me a call. I'll send it out to you. It is free. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. Don't forget, on the 29th of this month, I am going to be in Denver again. So if you do want to meet with me, 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. Stay tuned. You are listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.